Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And welcome to another Movies Hate You, sponsored by BMovie.com. Was that radio enough, like Todd? Todd, are you with us? He's not listening to me. I think he disappeared. Lee, are you there?
I'm still here, man. I think it sounds good.
Oh, okay. I need you to shout back a little bit, man.
I was shouting, but I forgot I'd turned my volume down a little bit.
Hey, what's the matter? You don't want to be on this show?
I love being on your show, but I didn't want to take the spotlight away from our wonderful guests of tonight.
I think that, yes, you. You are our guest tonight. Mr. Ree, the one and only Lee Peterson, are you here, sir, Mr. Ree?
Aloha.
I'm here. The nurse says we'll be in from the old age home, you know.
Mr. Ree, you've aged. Wait a minute. That's our very special guest, Mr. Reed. Joel M. Reed.
It's a free-for-all.
Wait a minute. We have with us tonight a very special Movies Hate You. And that is the director of not only probably one of the best punk rock films ever made, Bloodsucking Freaks, but also The G.I. Executioner, Bloodbath, and Night of the Zombies, a.k.a. Night of the Zombies Part 2, which Wild Eye, the company I represent, will be showing off of a VHS tape in Brooklyn, New York, on Sunday, January 29th at 8 p.m. And Mr. Joel Reed will be with us there live, and we're going to talk about that. But we're also going to talk to Joel about all kinds of stuff, like the girls he meets on the streets in New York City, growing up in New York City, working in the film business for the last 200 years, and making probably the best and sickest movie, still not topped. I don't care what they crank out. I don't care how many castrations. Bloodsucking Freaks still creeps me out. Can you explain, Joel Reed, why Bloodsucking Freaks still creeps me out?
Yes. By the way, it wasn't a castration. That's cutting the testicles off. It was an amputation of the penis. You have to draw a strict line between.
Yeah, I meant all these new movies like Hostel and these films. While a lot of them are great and fun to watch, something about Bloodsucking Freaks is just so grimy, dirty New York 1970s. It makes me sick to my stomach, and I can't get enough of it. And it's on my top five of all time. It's what the best comedies ever made as well.
Yes, it is supposed to be a comedy. You mentioned Hostel and all those things. One of my greatest fans at one time was Eli Roth. I couldn't get him out of the apartment.
You couldn't get him out because you had him chained up and you're throwing darts at his ass, or what? Why couldn't you get him out of the apartment?
I would like to do that now. I understand if he would email me every day, but since he's become rich and famous, I haven't heard from him. Actually, he sent me a note the other day after somebody screamed at him at a film festival, "Why don't you contact Joel Reed?" But he used to follow me on the train secret. He was filming a secret video of me, and that was way before he came famous. And I noticed, I looked in the next car, and there was Eli and a camera crew, you know, following me around.
So Eli Roth was stalking you in the subways of New York, probably researching his kind of tongue-in-cheek commentary he did on the Bloodsucking Freaks DVD that Troma put out.
That's right. He said they paid him $35 for it, you know, which was a massive sum back then, you know.
How much is that per minute, Lee?
I don't know how long the thing. $35 is probably somewhere, I would say, that it's 50 cents a minute or 43 cents a minute. I've had similar offers from Troma, which I've turned down.
Do you want to talk about anything with Troma and Bloodsucking Freaks, how they got it, why, well, you know, what's going on with the film?
I'm glad to tell you the whole history of Bloodsucking Freaks. It was made by accident. I had a partner, Alan Margolin. We were supposed to do a movie called Teen Demon, which I later sold to Canon, the script. And in the course of talking to investors, this agent called me up and asked me to go to this off-Broadway theater run by a guy named Giles Fontaine, in which he performed a nude, totally nude, everything hang out, S&M ballet. And then when I told my potential investors about it, they said they wanted to go. And it was in the same theater in the movie. And we had to go in two shifts because it barely had 50 seats. After the movie was over, the play was over, we went to the Spring Street Bar, and they all told me we'd invest in an S&M movie somewhat like the theater. So I got the inspiration to create the character Sardu. And all these potential investors sent me Dutch comic books and secret books they hid in their house about S&M. And most of the stuff was even more disgusting than I could even think about putting in a movie. And some of them edited some of the scenes. And the upshot was they didn't give me a nickel. They said, well, you have a great S&M script, but I'm broke now. Oh. And I don't know, a couple of weeks later, Stanley Borden, the film, no, not Stanley, Joel Weinberg, the film lawyer, called me up and said, could you make a movie right away? We have some money lying around. And I said, well, I just was putting this S&M thing. He said, don't tell me what the movie's about. Just come and pick up a check. I actually thought he was full of crap. And on the following Tuesday, his secretary called up and said, we have a check here for you. So that's how Bloodsucking Freaks came about. And we went ahead and we shot it at Giles Theater. I thought it was a lot of fun, you know, because I'm not really into S&M. I mean, in the casting of it, we had girls come up that were into S&M. And I'm very bored, you know, you have to tie them up and do all sorts of things for them, to them, before you have sex, and it's a big bore. But
you like to cut right to the chase.
What's that?
You like to cut right to the sex. You don't
yeah,
want to.
Yeah, I don't like, you know, I have one girl that's in the movie that said, okay, go ahead. You want to shit all over me, if we can say that. You know, do whatever you want. Hurt me, you know?
And you just wanted to get laid. You didn't want any of that nonsense.
That's right. But I did make a pretense of tying her up, and I fucked her for a year or so. And then later on, she came over for lunch. She said, oh, I got the right psychiatrist now. I'm not into that anymore. And I remained friends with her for years, you know. And in fact, you see me whipping her in the movie. I shouldn't say that. But you see Louis the Dwarf whipping her in the movie. And Louis would not hurt any of the girls. You know, he wouldn't whip hard enough. So I took the whip out of his hand in the close-up. And she said, oh, not Joel. You know, and I whacked the shit out of her, you know.
Go ahead. Well, speaking of psychology, when I was a teenager and we started renting films, and this is in like the early to mid 1980s, Bloodsucking Freaks was on the menu every week. It was Faces of Death and Bloodsucking Freaks. I mean, we rented the hell out of these movies. And couldn't get enough of Bloodsucking Freaks and turning it on to other people, telling people about it. And at some point, I remember maybe in the early to mid 1990s, it was hard to find that VHS tape for rent or for sale. I don't know if it went out of print or what the story was. My theory is that every tape that was put out there was just worn out and broken at every video store because everyone had to see this movie. It was a spectacle. Everyone said, "Whoa, you really want something sick?" I mean, there was a lot of zombie gore stuff from Italy and all kinds of oddball gore movies and things out there, but nothing like Bloodsucking Freaks.
I know it was ahead of its time because if you see movies that are even PG or adult rating, they have worse stuff in it today, you know? But I did it in essence as an S&M comedy. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think on the set we thought it was a lot of fun, you know? Seamus was terrific. I was very lucky that I got him. And Louis the Dwarf. I originally had Hervé from Paradise Island, and he was not only... scheduled to be in the movie, he was hanging out with us at the office all day. And when we were ready to shoot in that period when we got the money, I called him up and found he had gone to Paris. And I called him in Paris. I said, "Why did you go? We need you." And he said, "It's too hard for a little person to get laid in New York. I'm in Paris." So I said, "Come back." He said, "You have to send me $300 for my..." That was the exact round trip, you know, economy fare. And we were going to send him the $300, and at that moment, Louis Azar walked in, and we said, "Well, what's no difference between one demented dwarf and the other?" And we saved $300.
So and Louis was talking about Hervé Villechaize.
Yeah.
You had said Paradise Island, Fantasy Island, and you're talking about Hervé Villechaize. I'm just straightening it out for whoever's listening if they didn't catch it.
Years ago, you know, when you were watching Bloodsucking Freaks, I was in Korea or in the army and fucking orchestra, a pack of cigarettes and stuff like that. You know, I didn't have the. I wasn't into films. I was into cheap hookers and beer in Japan or Korea. So. Films came much later. Anyway, I got the, one of the greatest things on earth is to watch at the party of the rap party for Bloodsucking Freaks is to watch Louis with his immense cock way out of proportion to his body having sex with Viju Krim, which they later did on a porn film, so it wasn't, news to the world. It's very... Very, very few people in their lifetime are treated to a spectacle like that.
And you didn't film this?
No, we didn't film it. I didn't think it would happen. We had a duplex party. This girl, a script girl, had a duplex apartment. And upstairs, there was a regular orgy going. And downstairs, it was a more conservative party. And the Viju came in with Ron Stewart, but I think the guy was a Ron Stewart phony and said they were running away to get married. And she said, "What's upstairs?" And I said, "An orgy." And she said, "Can I look?" And I said, "I don't think that's the rules. You have to go up there and have sex." So she said, "I'm going to look." And she came up, and everybody said, "Get out or take your clothes off," And she took her clothes off, and I think she was giving me head when suddenly... she disappeared, and I looked over in the corner. I was pretty sunk on coke anyway, and there was Louis D'Azu fucking, one of the great events of the time,
Well, Todd, this is clearly not a family show. This is an R-rated version of Movies Hate You. Just let's make that clear to the listeners when this airs.
I don't want to do movies like that. I have some scripts that actually allude to sex but don't have need to graphic sex in it. I have one. I'm working on something, a zombie movie that has a lot of sex in it, and the girls get more or less, they don't get eaten by the zombies, but they get fucked by the zombies, it's pretty awful, the scenes.
This is kind of like you talking about Bloodsucking Freaks here is kind of like the commentary that doesn't exist on the disc, which is really great.
Make a companion disc. That's what we're thinking about. Everybody's asking for it. I know so many stories of the movie, what happened to Viju. At least three or four actors died right after the movie was produced. I've run into some of the girls who are major executives in movie business now. Dan Fossey, I think, became head of 20th Century Fox, the cop,
Oh, wow.
And he you can look him up. Now he's an artist, he's retired, but he had a standing rule that if anybody mentioned a movie to him, he'd fire them.
You know? Well, we had the honor of driving up to Cinema Wasteland a few years back with you and Jamie Gillis, who we'll get to later. And you did, at midnight, we played Bloodsucking Freaks in front of an audience of, I would say, about 100 people. And you did a live commentary with a microphone as the movie played.
Yes,
Todd was there, Lee was there. It's like a reunion from that Wasteland show. And that was one of the best things, to hear you talking about the film all the way through, even though Jamie Gillis in the front row was saying, "Shut up, Joel, I want to hear the movie, shut up."
Yeah, we didn't have him. I don't know, I didn't meet him yet, but Jamie was very pissed off at me. Finally, at the end, when we were going home, told me it was the $400. And then I recalled, I couldn't think. I thought it was $2,500. These two people on Night of the Zombies got stiffed for money. My cameraman, production manager was Ron Dorfman, and Jamie got stiffed for $400. And the reason I told them both that I was in the same position, I'm not paying anybody. Lauren Price was, and I didn't trust Lauren, and that they, and which I'll talk about at the Nighthawk Cinema, that they make sure they get their money from Lauren up front, which I did. I would go buy coffee for Lauren without getting the money up front. And it ended up, we were back in New York from Germany and back from shooting upstate, and everybody on the set was sort of foaming at the mouth. And I said, you know, finally they said to me, "We didn't get paid." And I said, "Not to come to work unless you got paid. I told all you guys, you know, and just walk off the set." And Jamie said, no. I called the unions. We had some unions involved, and they came over, and they grabbed Lauren in his office, and they said, "Okay, go finish the picture. You got two more days or one more week." And actually, Lauren liked Jamie. But the reason Jamie went away, and Lauren wanted to have lunch with him, and Jamie said something to Lauren, "You're a fucking asshole," and that's why he didn't get paid. And Lauren, all he had to do is go over and have lunch with Lauren. You know, I got all my money, because I got more than my money, because I wouldn't even get up in the morning unless I was paid. And that's part of the adventures. Lauren passed away, but he was. You know, he's totally unscrupulous. We started the movie with no money. I mean, he paid me, and he said he had $125,000. And when we got to Germany, I had money. And Ron Dorfman, I said, "Ron, did you get the money?" He said, "No, he'd wire it to me." I said, "You fucking asshole." He says that all the time. And Ron says, "I like Lauren." So we shot what we had there, and Ron was doing it on his credit card. So I think he eventually got most of the money back for $2,500. Anyway,
that's what I was going to ask.
Part of the movie is pretty good.
Now, of course, we're talking about Night of the Zombies, which on January 29th at 8 p.m. at the Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, we will be showing Night of the Zombies from VHS, Wild Eye, along with Horror Boobs and the VHS Vault and the fine folks at Nighthawk. We do this monthly VHS show. This is going to be an added special show. We're going to have Joel there live to introduce the movie and explain what the hell is going on in this zombie film, and also do a Q&A with the audience. I guess he's going to sign stuff for you if you bring it out. He'll, you know, tell you these stories live in person. You could buy him a drink. He could buy you a drink. Make sure if you buy him a drink, it has a straw in it.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's say somebody was selling the, I had a whole box of them here. When Vestron released the movie, they put out Bloodsucking Freak straws, you know, to emulate the doctor in my movie.
And, oh, yeah.
Somebody is selling one on the internet for $40, you know.
And you have a whole box?
$40, I come over and do something to your house.
If you have them, why don't you, you have any more of those straws?
I have to look for them, you know.
Bring them with you. I'll buy one.
You know what I was thinking of doing is reprinting them. I was trying to find a store place, you know, who would know. I had office for was I have Sardou's keychain, which was my keychain, and I put it on eBay, and the highest bid I got was $300, so I didn't take it, you know, because it's a great...
Yeah. If you got to get those, like, Slurpee size straws, though, those giant, thick straws, you can have the blood-sucking freaks written on it, or the Incredible Torture Show, I guess you could put on there, too.
Do you know that Sylvester Stallone was in a porn film called Not Tonight, Sally, or something like that?
Yes.
And somebody asked him, you know, they're getting $2,500 to show your porn film at private parties. And he said, for $2,500, I'll come over and fuck in person.
Yes.
And somebody asked him, you know, they're getting $2,500 to show your porn film at private parties, and he said, for $2,500, I'll come over and fuck in person. And that was, I read that on the internet, you know.
Joel, let me, Lee, Mr. Peterson, tonight you're, yeah, Mr. Peterson. You had a question, yeah. I heard you trying to cut in earlier. Do you want to ask Joel something?
Well, I don't remember what my original question was, but I do have a question. About Night of the Zombies, this is a question I've always wondered.
This is good. I'm glad we can get to Night of the Zombies, because we're going to be showing that. It's a movie. Everybody asked Joel about Bloodsucking Freaks, but Night of the Zombies has a fan following as well. It's never been on DVD in this country. I think it's coming out in Germany on DVD, but Joel can talk about that later.
Yes.
So yeah, let Lee ask his question. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, my question is, Zombies came out in 1981, which is kind of right in the middle of the a big zombie craze or fad or whatever. You had Fulci's Zombie, you had Dawn of the Dead, etc. All these movies were like ultra violent and ultra gory, and then you put out Night of the Zombies, which has, not to dissuade anybody from seeing it, but has very little or no gore in it. And was that a decision that you made? Did the producers want there to be gore and you didn't want gore, or vice versa?
The producer, Lauren, did not read the script. He produced Broadway plays and never read the script. I think I was holding to a earlier Hollywood convention without the gore. Actually, what the zombie films in Germany have done is shot new gore. You know, what they cut into the film is a monster grabs somebody and then you see the bodies being ripped apart, and that's all new material.
What's the name of that German company? They're going to be releasing Night of the Zombies on DVD.
Yes, what's the name of the company?
Yeah.
Zombie film.
And, no, the people putting it out, have they retitled the movie?
No, what they have done is they have redubbed it in German.
And they took out the Hitler references.
They didn't want the Hitler song, you know, the Horst Wiesel song. At the beginning, and
they're touchy about that over there for some reason.
Yeah, very touchy about it. Well, this movie, when it originally came out, and it was sold to Germany and did very well. I mean, it was one country where it did very well. It played in Munich for 26 weeks, and what also we did which was my suggestion. At the end of the movie, Don Wallace, I just remember the actor, says to Jamie, you know, Jamie, join with us, the zombies. We will rule the world by terror. And I told him to change it. And now the guy says, Jamie, join us. We will rule the world by a new innovation. It's television games. You can call them video games. You know, it will get into everybody's mind that way. And he opens a backpack, and the close-up, you see an iPad, although it was 30 years ago. I thought it was funny. The new title, the German title of the movie, is Zombie War Games.
So that's you're kind of saying that the Nazis gave Steve Jobs the idea for the iPad in a roundabout way.
I want to say that. Yeah, that's a joke, but it may attract some attention, you know. But
they do say that the Nazis had alien technology. Isn't that true, Mr. Lee?
Nazis had alien technology, yes, you know. I just watched how that we defeated their rockets. I don't think so. I'm not unaware of aliens. I have one living here, which I like to exercise. And I got to say no to young actresses that need a place to live. It's driving out of my head. But
so after Bloodsucking Freaks, Joel, you toned it down on purpose for Night of the Zombies? Is that?
But
let me
tell you the origins. I had a script, or I had two scripts. One, a new one, but relatively new, which is very funny. I don't know if you read it. I should give you a copy of it, which is called Renegade Ghouls, Caddo Swap, or Hardcore 2, which is about a movie company, somewhat like Tromer, or a very poor mouth movie company that goes down south to shoot a ghoul zombie movie, and they run into the real ghouls, you know.
Okay.
And it's a comedy. There's a lot of gore in it, but the main thing is a comedy, because in the end, the zombie ghouls end up finishing the movie. No, and they kill the whole crew, and the last scene you discover that they have become big shots in Hollywood, you know, and they're running the whole place. It's kind of funny, but anyway, I had the original story was set in the Philippines. I wrote it for a Filipino guy, and it was about Japanese, you know, zombies in the jungle of the Philippines, and when Lauren said, I gave him a couple of scripts. I don't know why he picked that one. I think I gave him Bloodsucking Freaks too. He said, let's do this one and we'll go to the Philippines. And then I checked the prices of the Philippines, which was $800 round trip to go over there. And he said, that's too much, you know, get it cheaper to fly. So somebody said, why don't you try Germany? We'll make them Nazis. And actually, the Lufthansa flight for Germany was more expensive than going to the Philippines. And somebody said, my travel agent, buy a ticket to London for $299 and go over to the Lufthansa terminal and buy an unlimited ski ticket to Munich for $35. So that's how we all flew. We got over there for $335, you know, to Munich, and we spent time there. And that's the reason we ended up in Germany. But if we had some more forethought and editing, actually, I would have done the movie over, as I think that I would have had better looking zombies and more sympathy for the zombies, you know.
Be honest with us, Joel. The reason the movie turned out the way it did is because you and Jamie were partying with hookers the whole time when you were over there.
Yeah, we had a great time. Jamie was a wonderful guy. I tell you the story. You know, we arrived during Fasching in Munich, and the girls grab your dick and they unzip your fly, actually, and they take their tits out and rub your face. It's a pre-Lenten carnival. And I said, I'm busy setting up the production, you know. So when I finished, I said, it's Monday, let's party. And our German production guy said, it's also Lent. You couldn't get laid in Munich, you know, unless you had you were worth $1 million. And it was true, you know, you couldn't even get meat. But one day I mentioned to Jamie, I said, Jesus, when do you get laid around here? And he said, I'll get you laid. And he took me to a Turkish leather bar with all men, you know, fezes on it. And I said, I don't want to, you know, I really don't have sex.
Wait, they had fezes, they had leather and fezes on?
Well, it was a Turkish, well, I call it was a rough trade bar, you know?
Imagine the size of the mustaches in there, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, they had mustaches, you know, and those Turkish jackets were there. And I said to, this is not my scene, Jamie. And he says, you know, you'll get laid more often if you weren't that particular.
And that's when he grabbed a guy and took his fez off, right? He just grabbed a Turk.
No, that never happened. But Jamie, I think, well, I know he was bisexual. I left him there, you know. And he was traveling with Gail Green, the food writer for the New York magazine. And she was, you know, I think she whipped him or whatever, you know.
Huh.
I actually worked on a porn film, the one porn film I got involved, because Ron Dorfman was doing it with Jerry Damiano, and they couldn't stand each other, you know. So Ron got this gangster to hire me to be like production manager, you know, Jerry Damiano said, put the camera over there, but Ron wouldn't listen to him, you know what I mean? So, and Ron, if he talked to Ron, Ron said, go fuck yourself, Jerry. So Jerry Damiano would say to me, Joel, tell Ron to put the camera over there. And it was called, it was with Sharon Mitchell, and it was called I Don't Do Windows, you know. And I don't know, I'm losing my train of thought. Anyway, we were talking about, and my first introduction to Jamie, we were shooting at Plato's Retreat, you know, and, you know, Rod would say, oh, we're going to shoot Jamie's scene now, and or then Jerry would say, don't listen to Rod, listen to me. We're going to shoot Jamie's scene now. Go get Jamie. And I said, where is he? He said, one of the cubicles has a dressing room. And I walked back there, and I heard this heavy pounding, and boom, 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 you know. And I heard Jamie scream and said, smash that into me. Rip out my kidneys with your dick. And I gingerly opened the door, and you can imagine what was going on. Anyway, I said, Mr. Gillis, and he said, just give me two more minutes when I finish. And I left. And, you know, and I didn't, I tried to avoid watching the set because the thing that puts you off, Ron made a lot of porn films and they used to hang out. And if you're watching people having sex day in and day out, you know, it gets very boring, you know. I remember that the first day they had, the whole thing about the script was Sharon Mitchell would do anything. I Don't Do Windows, maybe was the title. You know, I Don't Do Windows. And the first day they had ethnic day, you know, all these guys lined it up with fezes and Indian bonnets on, you know, and the second day they had dyke day, and the third day they had equipment day with all sorts of strap-ons and stuff and so forth and so on. And then Sharon came over to me. I knew her before her porn film career, and she said, I always had the hots for you. Let me buy you dinner tonight, you know. Mm. I said, I'm sorry, I'm busy. Because some people will get turned on to that, you know, but I didn't. I mean, if it was funny in the movie, I'd get turned on. I mean, Ron was shooting a picture in his apartment and some other picture, and this guy was fucking this beautiful girl. And he said, Joel, you got to try this next. It's a very unusual pussy, you know. And I said, how can a pussy be unusual? He said, well, he was a man 7 months ago, and this is a manufactured pussy. You have to try it. And I said, I don't think so.
That happened to you, Lee, didn't it, one time?
What's that?
I think that happened to Lee once.
I was that man.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you were the one in the Joel Reed story.
Yeah. Right. Well, I had a sex change, but I had it changed back later that day.
Oh, there you go. It's nice that they're reversible. Now, how do any of us know we haven't already done that? You see what I'm saying? If you're not told.
I may have unintentionally got from a transvestite once or twice, but that's about, you know.
Trends are like toupees. You only notice the bad ones.
You know, I was on the set of a porn film with a very famous porn star, and we had sex. It was actually after a couple of drinks, and Ron was running the camera. He turned the camera on, you know? And then after the thing, I was very embarrassed about that. Then he sent me the footage. It was 16mm, but he didn't have my face in it. It would be, I would put it on YouTube now. Except it's senseless just to see, you know, more or less a close-up of my penis, you know, in somebody.
Oh, we've all seen that.
Say how bullshitting, you know.
Joel, did you ever make any porno movies, Joel?
What?
Did you ever make any porno movies?
I worked on, I helped Ron Dorfman. The only porno movie I was directly involved was I Don't Do Windows with Sharon Mitchell, because they were giving me $900 a week to try to stop the fights on the set, you know? And I actually, if you look at the movie really careful, it's a movie within a movie. It's about making a porn film. And there's a scene where I'm moving a light and playing one of the crew members. You know, I have an anecdote about that because he had used to have this little guy to try to look like Cecil B. DeMille. He wore a beret and putties, and he carried a script and a megaphone. No shit, you know? And he walked down the street telling girls he was a movie director. And he used to find girls for the porn film producers and get a fee. And he met this beautiful girl from Ohio, and she was in the bus station. She hadn't eaten in 24 hours. And so he convinced her to be in this very movie, I Don't Do Windows. And she was so gorgeous and so innocent looking. And they had a kid from Brooklyn College who came in the room. I thought the circumstances, and he got undressed, you know, and he had an erection, and she was gorgeous. But when they came in for the, you know, the money shots, his dick went down, you know. So, what's his name? Damiano said, I need a dick right now. I need a hard-on. I'll pay $1,200 for a hard-on. So I said, excuse me, Jerry, I'll jump in on that because that girl's really cute, you know. And he said, whip it out. And I took my dick out. And he said, oh, my God, it doesn't match, Joel. But that was not true. He just didn't like me. So he wasted 4 hours to some other guy.
He didn't want to give you the $1,200 is what it was.
No, he didn't want to. He didn't like me. We had a terrible, because I was Ron's friend, you know, and then. You know, and then I've been in a lot of situations where the other person thinks you're somebody else's friend, you know, because one Jewish dick from Brooklyn looks more or less the same, because I looked at my dick looks just like the kid doing it. But I would have been.
Gather the family around the radio. Uncle Joel is talking here. Come on, get the kids, bring them over. This is great.
Our little kitties.
Great. Yeah. Let me stop for a second and say, you're listening to, if you've tuned in somewhere in between this, the Movies Hate You show. We're sponsored by bmovie.com, b-movie.com. And you can get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. Tonight we have the one and only Joel M. Reed, director of exploitation director of G.I. Executioner, Bloodbath, and, of course, Bloodsucking Freaks. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about Night of the Zombies as well from 81. No, not the Italian movie that was a retitling of Hell of the Living Dead. Not that Dawn of the Dead ripoff. This is the other Night of the Zombies, which is also known as Night of the Zombies 2 from 1981. We'll be showing it. Wild Eye, Horror Boobs, and VH Vault will be showing it at the Nighthawk Cinema on Sunday, January 29th, 2012. At 8 p.m., Joel will be there to meet his fans, introduce the film, explain some things to all of us, and tell us all these crazy porn stories. Joel,
my rabbi's coming.
Oh, good. And your lawyer, I hope. Or is it the same?
Is he? I haven't. Anything I say is PG. You know,
we'll record it. We'll have it all videotaped so that, you know, we have a record of it for court records.
I try not to. I won't bring into. I don't degrade people. I mean, I wouldn't say anything about. I've had a lot of adventures, but if the people still alive, I avoid talk. I don't talk about them. But I think since Louis D'Azu and Visha went on to do porn films, it's also well to describe them. You know. I have one thing to add. You said little kitties. Let me tell you this story. When Rob had his apartment set up as a film studio, he had Barnaby was his kid, about 4 or 5 years old. And I noticed that Barnaby and his friends from next door were standing there watching the shooting. And I said, I mean, that's a little odd, Ron. And he said, well, I tried locking him out, and it caused more trouble than anything. So let them watch. They're bored with it.
What year was this?
Let me tell you, it was
70s?
Well, it was before that we made the movie in Germany, but not too long before.
Okay, so it was like mid to late 70s. All those 70s, you know, we missed out on so much.
Ron went on to a strictly porn career with Joe Sotto. They went to work for Irving Morris, and then they moved out to the coast. Irving was, or whatever his name was, a big Jewish gangster here who controlled all porn movies in New York, and he was the guy that moved out to the Valley. And he took Ron and Joe Sarno, who was my neighbor, how many months ago that he died. And everybody's been looking for Ron Dorfman, and nobody's found him, you know, so.
Oh, wow.
You know, so Joe thought he had passed away, but I found him on one of these people searches, but I don't know how recent that was. He was a wonderful guy, and he was a little... He's got when he did Groupies and what's the big one? You know, Woodstock. He worked on a couple of major films, and he got all these offers from Hollywood. You know, and a hippie. You know, he was a beatnik. He went out there with his long hair and everything. Said, "I don't want any interference from Suits. You're all a bunch. You know, Suits. You're all a bunch of shit." You know, and so that did endear him to the establishment. So. But he was a wonderful guy. And most people were wonderful guys, that I met, you know. And with my film careers, I never did anything on purpose. I wandered into the movie business, you know, and I wandered out of it, you know.
Do you have anything that you regret? Is there something, a project you never did?
Yeah, I definitely should have done my artistic projects that would have gotten me, attention in Hollywood. Not as bad as the one I saw 820 times, a lot of young filmmakers. Bring me a story, the guy's living in an apartment in East Village, and he looks across the street, and there's a beautiful girl dancing in her apartment across 7th Street, and then takes him 85 minutes to get laid, you know?
Okay. You prefer the one where he's watching her and she gets murdered, and then he has to solve the crime.
I'm not very big into murder. You have to look at some of my scripts, but
hey, when a man who made Bloodsucking Freaks tells me he's not into murder, he doesn't like to degrade people. I don't believe you.
I did degrade people in a comedy fashion, and I have some. I just finished something that will probably go on the internet as a little novelette, which you guys can read, which is a zombie story, which has not only the zombies are more sex threats than anything else, you know, and you have to read it because it's really disgusting. But I'm proud.
Joel, we're starting to wind down a little bit on time and stuff. I want to get a couple quick things in about two other films. Bloodbath, which was the horror anthology made. I think that DVD's been out of print for a while now. Right?
Yes, Bloodbath was picked up by Canon Films. They bought it from us through a tax shelter. And then it was taken over by MGM. And I tried to find the materials. Finally, I found it at MGM. And they said that you could have the whole thing back. And they sent me a couple of prints. And they wanted to send me a truckload of prints and everything, which I didn't take. You know, they were very up about it, you know. Okay. But that went out like with a tax shelter. Nobody really cared if it did any business. I had Har Presnell and what's her name, the girl's name, Doris Robinson, that was the attempt to do something cheap and to the general market, which is a big mistake because I had, you know, you have to do something different. You're not necessarily gory, but to attract the attention of people, you know.
Was that the same? It's listed some places as a 1976, same year as Bloodsucking Freaks. I think these dates are inaccurate. Which came first, Incredible Torture Show or Bloodbath?
I think Bloodbath came first. I had gotten into that. I made that movie in Singapore, which was called Wit's End in the beginning. And I finished that, and I got a call from these people who said, "We can give you money to make a movie. We saw parts of Wit's End in Singapore. Can we come over?" And they came over, and they actually gave me the money for that movie, which is about $250,000, almost that day or the next day.
So,
and I should have given a more esoteric script. It was too mild, you know.
And you're referring to Wit's End. You mean it was retitled? We know it here as the GI Executioner.
That's right.
That was 71. So 71, you did that. Then you went on to Bloodbath, and then Incredible Torture Show, aka Bloodsucking Freaks.
Yeah, and then I did the zombie movie. Lauren read Bloodsucking Freaks, which I had written, but he was a bit of a square, you know. So he didn't want anything in the movies, you know. When I did GI Executioner, Marvin, the producer, never read the script. And we're doing the first nude scene, and he shut the picture down. And I said, Marvin, he said, you put in a nude scene just to see the girl's tits. And I said, Marvin, you got a script, and that scene was in the original script, which I didn't write. He said, I have no time to read scripts. But we included it in the movie. And the girl, Janet Wood, I just happened a couple of years ago, she plays an undertaker on 6 Feet Under in a couple of episodes.
Oh, so okay.
She's still going strong.
Oh, excellent, man. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to open it to Mr. Lee again. Mr. Lee, you had another question?
Oh, I just left, yes.
Because we're wrapping up, I want to throw you the floor if you have something.
Why, thank you. How did you get involved with Troma? I know they released GI Executioner as well as Bloodsucking Freaks. How did you get into
it? I knew Vernon Becker, who had a film with him. Vernon did Swedish, and I did a movie called Swedish and Underage with him in Sweden, which I'll discuss some other time. And Stanley Borden, Joel Weintraub, the backer, asked me to go with Stanley Borden of American Films to release the picture, and Stanley released Bloodsucking Freaks. He bought 100 prints and he released it all across the country in big theaters. Of course, I always thought of it as a midnight show, and of course he put it in debt for about $300,000, you know. And then I said, give me the, and then he decided not to do anything with it. It got lousy reviews, and you know, and then I said, give me the picture back. And he said, I'm not, you owe me $300,000. But little did Stanley know my trick to defeat people like that. Whenever I put a movie into the lab or you make a movie, I get a lien, first lien on it, you know, or give a first lien on it to somebody and make the lab cognizant of the fact, you know. So when Stanley would give me the materials back, we notified the lab, you know, that the person that owns the lien is taking the materials back. And, you know, so they had, you know, no matter what Stanley did or the lab thought they owned, I got the materials back. And Stanley complimented me on my fast thinking, you know. And then,
is that what happened to Night of the Zombies here in the States? Was it a question?
Oh, no. Night of the Zombies in the States was released by Nick Dimitrolis, whatever the name of the company.
Prism Entertainment put that out, I believe, right? Was it Prism?
What's that?
Prism Entertainment. That didn't play theatrically, did it? Night of the Zombies?
Oh, yeah. Night of the Zombies played theatrically. And Nick Dimitrolis, and I'm still, he died a long time ago. He was Jerry Gross's original partner, played theatrically, and he sold it to Prism. And what happened with that is that I owned the company, and Nick is dead. You know, Lauren dead, whatever that woman's name is on the film is dead. And by lore, I own all rights into it. You know, there'll never be anybody to challenge it. You know, nobody can challenge it, you know.
And that's why you're working with the Germans to put it out on DVD there and making changes to it. And so you're supervising the addition that they're making there and contributing to it.
Now, the Germans have been after me for a year or two to do it. I never contacted them. They loved the picture for Germany, and I finally made a deal with them. You know, not very much up front, but I made a deal with them. But there's no rights question on that. I think I own the rights to all my films, and it's something that has to be discussed with a lawyer, because I know I do, you know. Bloodbath, the guys that I made it with just gave it to me. I told them I got it back from MGM, and they said, keep it, you know?
I'll offer this show up that you and Lloyd can come on and fight this damn thing out, right, live on the air with us.
Oh, I like to, I rather, because every time I mention that there may be some accruable rights in the picture to me, Lloyd threatens to sue me.
Oh, boy.
And then I've, you know, I've gotten calls and emails from different places that they want to buy the new rights to that, and they want to make a companion disc, you know, with me.
Yeah. Well, let's see a Bloodsucking Freaks Part 2. You know, it's been too long since you've been behind the camera. Let's see Part 2.
I have a great script. I just read it again for Bloodsucking Freaks Part 2.
Yeah, we'll get Eli Roth to be in it, and then you could throw darts at his butt.
I have read it. I can tell you it's a good script.
It's actually, I could, because it's every girl has asked me to do a Bloodsucking Freaks where the girls do bad things to the guys, more or less. But it happens to be a very funny movie, a very sick movie. You know? And
Lee, you were privileged enough to have read this script, right?
I read the script. It's actually a very good script, as is the other one that Joel was talking about, the zombie movie. There are actually two really good films. At one point about a year ago, I approached probably my favorite wrestler, professional wrestler, WWE guy, is Chris Jericho.
Oh yeah, he's my fan. What's his name?
Yeah, he was a big fan is a big fan of Bloodsucking Freaks. In fact, for a short time, he had a sidekick in wrestling that he named Ralphus, in homage to Ralphus from Bloodsucking Freaks. And I approached him and got him a script, but that's as far as it's gone. So I think he would be really great in the movie.
Also, there, you know, the rapper Necro references your height challenged friend from Bloodsucking Freaks all the time.
Mean Louis Diaz?
Yes.
Yeah, he's gone, but his son, a guy came by here who looks exactly like him and the same height. He says he's Louis Diaz Jr., you know? And believe me, the new script is even sicker but more sophisticated than the old one. You know, we had a big problem in Scandinavia with it in some countries, because in Sweden you can show all sorts of fucking, but you can't even scratch somebody's hand and draw blood, you know? In fact, they arrested the distributor in Sweden.
Make love, not war, Joel. That's their motto.
Right. And the girl I met today from Kansas City would be the good lead in Bloodsucking Freaks 2. She's absolutely gorgeous, you know?
And, Todd Sheets' sister?
Whatever.
No! Is your sister studying veterinary science in New York now?
No.
Hey, Todd, if you were checking in on that, you know, Joel has two scripts, including Bloodsucking Freaks Part 2, that need a producer.
I know.
And I know you're in the independent producing field, and I don't know, I smell maybe an offline conversation here happening.
Could happen.
I have some great scripts, and I'm having meetings with people. I have some new ones. I have a new zombie film, which everybody's interested in. And then I'm working on a sort of Spinal Tap about, you know, a great filmmaker of the 60s. You guy would love it. Of course, he never existed, but we interview his fans, you know, and we dig up old films. You know, nobody can find a film of his till the end of the movie, and a whole dumpster is found filled with his film. But he preceded everybody. He was the first one to use baby oil and close-ups on porn films. First one to do double insertions and so forth and so on.
And, I prefer to see Bloodsucking Freaks too. Sorry, you know.
I know, you have to be into it. I have a film that actually Amy Adams is interested in doing, and then the other, it could be Jack Nicholson. And it's also, it's about a girl moves next to a guy who she thinks is a retired porn film star. It's very funny. And it's cool.
You know, I think Jack Nicholson would make a great Masters Hardu.
Yeah, he would make that too. And then these guys that had wanted to hire Robin Englund, they had the script up till last month under option, and they wanted to get him under option. They found out he wanted money, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, weirdly enough, he wanted money to do.
Jeez.
You can't walk into a... If he's at a convention, you can't walk into the convention without him getting some of your money.
I know.
That's how it goes, man. Welcome to horror in 2012.
These guys are now making a movie with Lady Gaga, and they said they have an... A friend of her manager loves the project, and it's going to be a go-ahead. And I said... If
you
get her to read the script, it's
going to
take.
Joel, honestly, I can't wait to see you get some more stuff out. We all love your stuff that's out there already, and big fans. And we're going to show Night of the Zombies Sunday, January 29th at the Nighthawk Cinema from VHS tape with Joel there live in person. He's going to be whipping girls at the bar. He's going to be serving brains. $10 a stroke. He's going to be whipping people. He'll bring the Sardou keychain. Anything you want. You know, we might even find a little person to bring for him to sacrifice.
You may want to invite Louis' son. I have his number here.
Give him a call. What the hell? Why not? We're going to wrap things up.
Invite him. I don't know if he's his son, but he wants to play the part.
We're out of time here, so I'm gonna wrap it up with you guys. It's been a pleasure to have you, Joel. Always great to talk to you. I hope you'll come back. Tell us about more of your projects. Your website where people can find out what you're working on.
Oh, okay, Joel M. Reed, JoelMReed.net.
There you go, JoelMReed.net. That's where you can find Joel Reed, what projects he's working on, pictures of him. He's doing a lot of independent films where he's a character in doing acting in other people's films right now. You can see him doing that. He's going to be at the Nighthawk Cinema, Williamsburg, Brooklyn, Sunday, the 29th of January, 2012, 8 p.m. Be there. This is the Movies Hate You Show. Mr. Lee Peterson, thanks for being here. Todd, thank you for producing this show. Sorry if you had any questions. We didn't get to you.
It's all right, man. I'll just sit here.
All right, good. Well, you can ask them next time. We'll give you the floor. And you can get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. We are sponsored by bmovie.com. Thank you so much, all you blood-sucking freaks, for joining us.